Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we delve into The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg, a compelling exploration of the profound impact that habits have on our lives. From personal routines like brushing our teeth to larger organizational practices, this book reveals how our habits shape us and how we can shape them in return. Charles Duhigg, a Pulitzer Prize-nominated investigative reporter for the New York Times, uses a mix of research-based insights and riveting anecdotes to illustrate the science of habit formation. He provides practical advice for altering habits on both a personal and an organizational level. Whether you're looking to break a bad habit or instill a new one, The Power of Habit offers valuable strategies for change that are grounded in the latest psychology and neuroscience. This book is a must-read for anyone interested in personal development, as well as for professionals aiming to transform their organizations through the power of habit. Join us in uncovering how understanding and reshaping your habits can lead to profound changes in your life and work. The Power of Habit: Why We Do What We Do in Life and Business. Introduction. Discover how to master your habits. Have you ever resolved to quit smoking or to cut down on junk food, only to find yourself slipping back into old patterns just a few weeks later? If that scenario rings a bell, you're already familiar with the tenacious grip that habits can have on us. But have you ever wondered why it's so hard to break these patterns, or where the strength of these habits originates? Well, habits are deeply rooted in the intricate workings of the human brain, impacting our behavior in profound ways. While they simplify numerous aspects of our daily lives, imagine the chaos of relearning how to open a door every single day, they can also be detrimental and disruptive. Fortunately, there's great news. Understanding the mechanics of habits can empower us to transform them. Ready to take control? This exploration into the nature of habits will enlighten you about the key role of anticipation in forming habits, insights on self-control, and habits gained from the famous marshmallow test, how the latte method can help in managing responses in high-pressure situations. Part 1. Understanding the Mechanics of Habit Formation. Back in the 1990s, a pioneering group of MIT researchers were curious about the brain processes involved in habit development. They designed an experiment involving mice in a T-shaped maze with a tempting piece of chocolate placed strategically at one end. By monitoring the mice's brain activity, the researchers discovered key insights into how habits form. Initially, when the mice were first introduced to the maze, their brain activity surged, driven by the smell of chocolate and the challenge of locating it. But as the experiment was repeated, a significant change occurred. The mice started remembering the route, straight ahead, then left, and their brain activity subsided as the path to the chocolate became a learned routine. This phenomenon is known as chunking, the process where our brains convert a series of actions into an automatic routine. It's a crucial evolutionary development that enables efficient brain energy usage, allowing us to perform everyday tasks without constant, conscious effort. Indeed, as evidenced in a 2006 study by Duke University, up to 40% of our daily actions are habit-driven, each habit forming a three-part loop. 1. First, there's a cue, such as an alarm clock ringing, which triggers your brain to initiate a specific habit. 2. Next is the routine, the action you automatically take following the cue, like going to brush your teeth. 3. Finally, the reward, which in this case might be the fresh taste in your mouth, reinforces the habit loop by signaling a successful completion to your brain. This loop explains why habits are incredibly tenacious. Remarkably, habits are so rooted that they can persist even amidst significant brain damage. Consider Eugene, who suffered extensive brain damage due to encephalitis. Despite being unable to consciously locate his kitchen, he could automatically retrieve a snack when hungry, guided purely by ingrained habit. Eugene's actions underscore that habit formation and retention occur in the basal ganglia, a robust part of the brain adept at surviving even when other brain areas are compromised. Unfortunately, this resilience also means that once habits are established, whether beneficial like routine exercise or harmful like smoking, they can be exceptionally hard to break and pose a constant risk for relapse. Part 2. Cravings are the secret to why habits endure. Picture this. Every afternoon for the last year, you've treated yourself to a sugary, irresistible chocolate chip cookie from your work cafeteria. It's your little reward for a day's hard work. However, this sweet habit is starting to show its downside. You've begun to notice a slight weight gain, a concern echoed by friends and colleagues. So, you resolve to skip your daily cookie. But what emotions surge when you walk past the cafeteria that very first afternoon? If you resist, you might end up feeling grumpy. If you give in, it might be with a justification that it's just one more cookie. Why is breaking this habit so challenging? It's all about the cravings. The moorish pull of habits can be traced back to our neural pathways. Take, for instance, the research from the 1992 by neuroscientist Wolfram Schultz. Schultz conducted an experiment with a macaque monkey named Julio, who was trained to pull a lever on seeing certain shapes on a screen to receive a much-loved reward, a drop of blackberry juice. Initially, Julio showed minimal interest in the shapes. However, once he linked the action of lever pulling with the sweet payoff of juice, his engagement transformed dramatically. Notably, his brain activity began to spike not just at the reward moment, but as soon as the shapes appeared. Julio was experiencing anticipation, a precursor to craving. To delve deeper, Schultz tweaked the experiment, sometimes withholding the juice or diluting it. This led to observable signs of frustration in Julio, similar to a dieter's moodiness when skipping their favorite treat. This experiment underscores that habitual behavior isn't just about the routine, but also involves a deep-rooted expectation of pleasure, which can manifest as craving. Intriguingly, the dynamics of craving are instrumental in setting good habits as well. A 2002 study from New Mexico State University found that regular exercises are often driven by the high from the endorphin rush or the satisfaction they anticipate from their post-workout routine. This anticipated pleasure is what cements the habit more than the routine itself. The potency of cravings isn't just a subject in academic circles, it's a key lever in commercial strategies too. Claude Hopkins, a marketing icon, leveraged this understanding spectacularly in the early 20th century to make Pepsodent a household name. By promoting the tingling sensation of the toothpaste as a sign of effectiveness, he introduced a craveable reward into the brushing routine, transforming an otherwise mundane activity into a desirable habit. Cravings, therefore, transform mere routines into powerful habits, making activities we might otherwise skip parts of our daily rituals, anticipated and repeated with almost Pavlovian predictability. Part 3. Effectively changing a habit. Redirecting cravings and the power of belief. Changing deeply ingrained habits, like quitting smoking, is notoriously difficult. When nicotine cravings kick in, it's not just a small urge, but a compelling force. The key to breaking such powerful habits? Don't resist the urge, redirect it. This involves maintaining the same cues and rewards but changing the routine that responds to them. Considerable research, particularly among ex-smokers, highlights the effectiveness of this approach. By identifying what exactly triggers their smoking and what they gain from it, and then substituting the smoking routine with another action, such as exercise, chewing Nicorette gum, or simply taking a break, people find better success in quitting. An exemplar of this method in action is Alcoholics Anonymous, AA, which has potentially helped as many as 10 million individuals overcome alcoholism. Members are encouraged to identify what they truly seek from alcohol, which is often relaxation or companionship, rather than the drink itself. AA then provides alternative routines that satisfy these cravings, like attending meetings or talking to a sponsor, thereby replacing the harmful habit of drinking with healthier activities. However, substituting routines is not a foolproof solution. Research from the early 2000s conducted by California's Alcohol Research Group revealed some limitations. Members would utilize new routines effectively until faced with high-stress situations. For example, one individual returned to drinking after receiving distressing news about a family member's health, despite years of sobriety. What sets those who successfully maintain their new routines apart, studies suggest, is their belief in the possibility of change. This is a cornerstone of AA's philosophy, often expressed through its spiritual dimension. It's not necessarily the spirituality itself, but the empowerment it gives individuals to believe change is possible that supports their resistance against relapse. This sense of belief bolsters their ability to handle life's challenges without reverting to old habits. Thus, while changing the routine provides a new direction for habitual energy, it's the reinforced belief in change that fortifies one's ability to maintain new habits against the odds. Part 4. Leveraging Keystone Habits to Propel Change and Achieve Small Wins. Imagine stepping into the role of CEO at a struggling corporation and choosing to focus not on immediate financial turnarounds, but on worker safety. This was the scenario when Paul O'Neill took the helm at Alcoa in 1987, an aluminum giant at the time plagued by inefficiencies and low morale. To the dismay of investors betting on rapid financial improvement, O'Neill declared his primary focus would be enhancing safety, not profits, an approach that led one investor to dismiss him as a crazy hippie. O'Neill, however, understood something fundamental about organizational change. Habits shape an organization, and by altering key habits, you can fundamentally alter the course of the company. He identified safety as a keystone habit, a crucial pattern that, once shifted, would initiate a ripple effect, bringing widespread improvements. The rationale was straightforward. By prioritizing safety, every level of management would need to rethink operations to enhance their protocols, leading to more efficient processes and better communication channels. These changes aimed not just at preventing accidents, but at refining the entire production chain. Contrary to the investor's initial skepticism, O'Neill's strategy was remarkably effective. By the time he retired in 2000, Alcoa's annual net income had not just stabilized but increased fivefold. This dramatic turnaround was powered by the systematic refinement of operational habits, starting with the safety protocols. The concept of keystone habits extends beyond corporate environments and can be highly effective in personal development as well. For instance, doctors often struggle to help obese patients overhaul their lifestyles. But by zeroing in on one keystone habit, like maintaining a detailed food journal, patients often begin to experience other positive changes naturally. The mere act of recording their eating habits can heighten their awareness of dietary choices, leading to better decisions and, ultimately, a healthier lifestyle. These keystone habits provide what are known as small wins, manageable, easily achievable goals that pave the way for bigger changes. Whether in personal health or company culture, these initial victories build confidence and demonstrate that broader improvements are within reach, setting off a positive chain reaction that can lead to transformative change. Part 5. Unlocking Life's Potential with the Power of Willpower. In the 1960s, a Stanford University experiment, now famously known as the Marshmallow Test, offered revealing insights into the nature of willpower. Young children were presented with a marshmallow and given a choice: enjoy the treat immediately or wait 15 minutes to receive a second one. Only about 30% managed to resist the temptation. Years later, follow-up research with these participants, now adults, showed that those who had waited were generally more successful in various aspects of life, academically, socially, and in terms of overall health. The ability to delay gratification, it appeared, was a significant indicator of future success. Further studies have reinforced the idea that willpower functions like a keystone habit, one that has wide-ranging effects on our lives. For instance, a study conducted in 2005 demonstrated that eighth graders with greater self-control achieved higher academic results and were more likely to gain admission to selective schools. Despite its importance, willpower can be elusive and inconsistent. One day it's easy to choose the gym over the couch, and the next it feels impossible. Interestingly, willpower shares characteristics with physical muscles. It can become exhausted from overuse, but can also be strengthened through consistent exercise. Engaging in activities that require self-discipline, such as maintaining a strict diet, can serve as a form of willpower workout, enhancing this crucial trait over time. External influences can also impact willpower levels. For example, Starbucks noticed that while their employees generally maintained a positive demeanor, stressful situations could quickly erode their composure. To address this, the company implemented the LATTE method: listen, acknowledge, take action, thank, and explain. This strategy equips baristas with a framework for handling tough situations, effectively boosting their willpower under pressure by providing a clear plan of action. Moreover, studies highlight that autonomy plays a crucial role in sustaining willpower. When individuals perform tasks out of free will rather than obligation, their willpower muscle is less likely to fatigue. This insight can help in designing better work environments and personal habit strategies, where individuals feel more in control and thus more inclined to persist with challenging tasks. Through understanding and training willpower, we unlock the potential to not only improve personal habits, but also to enhance performance in virtually every area of our lives. By recognizing it as a muscle that can be weakened or strengthened, we can take proactive steps towards building a more disciplined, fulfilling life. Part 6. The pivotal role of crisis in transforming organizational habits. In November 1987, a minor but alarming incident at King's Cross Station in London, a piece of burning tissue near an escalator, was reported to a ticket collector. Rather than escalate the issue in line with safety protocols, the employee did nothing, assuming it fell outside his responsibility. This response was symptomatic of a broader organizational habit within the London Underground. Employees rigidly adhered to departmental boundaries, a practice entrenched by a complex hierarchy of authority. This system of siloed responsibilities had evolved over years, creating an environment where employees were discouraged from stepping outside their designated roles. Such organizational habits, while ostensibly maintaining order, can critically undermine collective accountability and responsiveness. The consequences of these entrenched habits became tragically clear when the initially reported fire escalated into a massive blaze. Rescuers faced a horrific scene. Many passengers suffered severe injuries, and the final toll was 31 lives lost. A critical point of failure was identified. No single entity within the Underground took overarching responsibility for passenger safety. However, from this dark episode emerged an opportunity for profound change. Crises, by their very nature, disrupt the status quo and make the continuation of old habits untenable. They create a unique window during which organizations are more receptive to transformative shifts. In the aftermath of the fire, leadership was forced to confront the dysfunctional habits that had contributed to the tragedy. The investigation into the incident, led by Desmond Fennell, faced initial resistance, much like the safety proposals that preceded the disaster. To overcome inertia, Fennell amplified the situation, engaging the media to intensify the scrutiny and urgency, effectively using the crisis to break the old patterns and push through critical reforms. Today, a stark contrast to the past, each station includes a manager specifically tasked with overseeing passenger safety, symbolizing a shift in organizational priorities and practices. This narrative underscores a powerful lesson. While crises are inherently challenging and fraught with risk, they also present a rare catalyst for breaking detrimental habits within organizations. Leaders who understand this can harness moments of crisis not just to recover, but to reinvent and improve, ensuring that tragedy gives rise to transformation. Part 7. Strategic use of consumer habits in marketing. Envision stepping into your neighborhood supermarket. The first items you're likely to see are fresh fruits and vegetables, beautifully arranged and inviting. While it might seem more logical to position these delicate items near the registers to prevent them from being squashed under heavier groceries, there's a calculated reason for their placement at the entrance. Marketers have learned that starting your shopping experience with healthy choices tends to make you feel virtuous, which paradoxically increases the likelihood of indulging in less healthy options, like snacks and sweets, later on in your shopping journey. This insight might strike many as straightforward, yet the subtleties of in-store marketing tactics extend far deeper. For instance, data shows most people naturally turn right upon entering a store. Knowing this, retailers tend to place their most profitable items rightward of the entrance to maximize exposure and sales. While these tactics are ingenious in their own right, they are broadly applied and do not account for individual shopping behaviors. However, with the advent of advanced technology and data collection techniques over recent decades, the capability to customize marketing strategies has reached unprecedented precision. A prime example of this is seen in the approach taken by the retail giant, Target, which collects extensive data on its millions of customers. In the early 2000s, Target decided to focus on a particularly lucrative market segment, new parents. But Target's ambition went beyond merely targeting current parents. It aimed to engage expectant parents even before the birth of their child, identifying them through their shifting purchasing habits. Their strategy was so effective that it led to an incident where Target's predictive analytics identified a teenage girl as pregnant before she had disclosed this fact to her family. This revelation emerged when Target sent the teenager baby product coupons, leading to a confrontation between her father and the local Target manager. Although the father initially reacted angrily, accusing the store of inappropriate marketing, he later had to apologize when the reality of his daughter's pregnancy came to light. Target learned from this backlash that too overt a strategy could be off-putting. To mitigate this, the company started disguising baby-related promotions among random, unrelated offers. This subtle blend made the targeted ads appear more like standard untargeted promotions to which customers were accustomed. Moreover, companies understand that familiarity breeds acceptance. Much like radio DJs who introduce new songs by playing them alongside established hits to speed up listener acceptance, marketers aim to integrate new products into familiar contexts to promote adoption. Despite criticism for its invasive tactics, Target's strategic use of customer data proved enormously successful. By focusing on expectant parents and utilizing finely tuned marketing strategies, Target saw its revenues soar from $44 billion in 2002 to $65 billion in 2009, illustrating the potent impact of leveraging consumer habits in marketing. Part 8: How Social Connections and New Habits Ignite Movements. In 1955, Rosa Parks' refusal to give up her seat to a white man on a Montgomery, Alabama bus became a pivotal moment in American history. Her arrest sparked a bus boycott that sustained for more than a year and became a significant event in the civil rights movement. But Rosa Parks was not the first to defy bus segregation laws. Several others had taken similar actions before her. So, what made Parks's act the catalyst for such a monumental movement? Rosa Parks was deeply embedded in her community, connected through numerous clubs and social groups ranging from the NAACP, where she was secretary, to local youth organizations and community services. These connections gave her what sociologists call strong ties across various segments of the community, from academics to laborers. Her broad network included influential people and everyday citizens alike, helping her garner immediate and widespread support after her arrest. However, Park's extensive network of strong ties alone couldn't have sustained the long-term boycott. The boycott also leveraged weak ties, or connections between acquaintances rather than close friends. These weak ties were crucial in spreading the word beyond immediate circles and throughout the entire community, thereby exerting a peer pressure that made it difficult for individuals to not participate in the boycott. Yet, as time wore on and the city introduced new obstacles like restrictive carpooling rules, maintaining the momentum of the boycott proved challenging. It was at this point that another critical element came into play: the formation of new habits. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s speeches encouraged a spirit of nonviolence and forgiveness, inspiring boycott supporters to adopt new behaviors. They organized regular meetings, set up peaceful protests, and formed a network that operated independently from traditional power structures. These new rituals and habits provided the infrastructure needed to turn the boycott from a momentary act of defiance into a robust, self-sustaining movement. Thus, the Montgomery bus boycott illustrates how movements are born not just out of the actions of a charismatic or pivotal individual, but through a combination of strong community ties, peer pressure, and the establishment of new, empowering habits. These elements together create a powerful synergy that can sustain a movement through its most challenging times, transforming individual acts of resistance into significant social change. Part 9. The role of personal accountability in habit management. In 2008, a chilling incident unfolded when Brian Thomas tragically strangled his wife to death, believing he was defending her from a burglar during a bout of sleep terrors, a condition where the most primal areas of the brain remain active while others shut down. Consequently, in Thomas's perception, his actions were not malicious, but protective, an automatic response triggered by his habitual instinct to protect his wife. Around the same period, Angie Backman faced legal challenges with the casino company Harrah's, which sued her for $500,000 in gambling debts after she had already lost a fortune, including her inheritance and her home, to gambling. Backman contended that her consistent gambling was not a choice, but a habit cultivated by the dopamine release associated with gambling, further reinforced by deliberate marketing strategies from the casino aware of her addiction. In court, Thomas was acquitted, receiving widespread sympathy, including from the judge, due to his lack of control over his actions during sleep. Conversely, Backman lost her case and faced public criticism. This disparity in outcome brings to light the complex interplay between habits and personal responsibility. The central question arises: when do our habits excuse our actions, and when are we held accountable? For Thomas, his sleep terror was unpredictable and uncontrollable, a rare psychological condition that absolved him of accountability for his actions. In contrast, Backman, who had previously acknowledged her gambling issue, had opportunities to mitigate her habit, such as self-exclusion programs which would prevent casinos from targeting her with promotions. This contrast underscores a crucial aspect of habit management: the responsibility to act once we're aware of a harmful habit. While habits can significantly influence behavior, they do not strip away our capability to make conscious choices, especially when options exist to alter those habits. Thomas's case poses an ethical dilemma about accountability when physical and psychological anomalies trigger unfortunate actions. Meanwhile, Bach and Mann's case serves as a reminder that while habits can be powerful and occasionally overwhelming, the awareness of their destructiveness imposes a duty to seek change. Recognizing a bad habit is the first step. Taking action to manage or rectify it is where personal responsibility comes into play. This delineation is crucial in understanding how habits interact with our moral and legal responsibilities. Final summary. Habits play a fundamental role not only in individual lives, but also within organizational structures and business strategies. At the core of every habit lies a simple but powerful structure, a cue routine reward loop. Understanding and harnessing this loop is crucial to instigating change. To modify a habit, the most effective strategy is to swap out the middle component, the routine, while maintaining the same cue and reward. Achieving sustainable change, however, involves more than just tweaking habits. It requires a focus on keystone habits, with willpower standing out as particularly pivotal. These are the habits that, once altered, can ripple out and affect change across various aspects of life or business operations. By strategically targeting and transforming these key habits, individuals and organizations can achieve significant, long-lasting improvements in performance and behavior. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.